Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. We are opening the kitchen up on a Wednesday evening. That's right. We are back at it here with the baseball buffet. Come in here, get your dishes, man. We got a lot of stuff to jump into. We got a semi, well, I'll dig into it in a little bit. I won't disrespect them too much, but I feel somebody is disrespecting this guy up until this point. I took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen timeless is alive. Sports City, welcome to the baseball buffet. Okay, the call-in number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs, man. And, I we got a lot of stuff to jump into, but it's, like I said, historical day here in baseball. But before we go any further, I got to get my co-host here involved, calling in by way of the DMV, the metro region of the United States of America. Have Tommy B in the building. Welcome to the buffet. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm pissed off. My Nationals bullpen let me down again.
Well, as I last seen it, it was 3-3, and now that I look, Chicago is up 4-3. But you guys still have an at-bat, and the way that that offense has been playing this season, I can't take too much away from what Washington has been able to do. But there's been so many different instances while you've been in the kitchen speaking on behalf of how the Nationals took care of business up against Chicago. So you have to know Chicago is going to come out swinging in this series. And I mean literally swinging their bat and also, you know, punches like if this was a fight. So, I mean, you still have another half of the inning. They're up one run. Hopefully you guys could put it together. If you want to elaborate more on how this game has gone down and how we can close out this conversation so we can get into some more things here at the buffet, please do so, and then we'll get going with the show.
Well, it started right off the bat. It was the fourth pitch hit of the game. Very first batter. Steven Strasburg gives up a home run. Does he give up another run? We come back and we score. Ben Revere scores on a wild pitch. And then it was pretty much 0-0 pitching duel. Then the bullpen gives up some runs. Steven Drew pitch hits, gives us the lead. Goes to the top of the ninth. Once again, my Nationals can't find a closer. Because Pacquiao can't get it done. He's hurt, I guess. I don't know what the hell's going on with him. Because Rizzo, the GM, comes out and says, after he blows another game against those Philadelphia Phillies, thank God Jason Worth comes through, comes out and says, we need to build and bulk up our back end of the bullpen. I can't take this. This is going to kill us again this year. And we got to go out west this for four games against San Diego, and I believe it's three against L.A. I'm telling you, Ty, this is going to kill us again.
Now, as I look at the situation that you guys have within the NL East, I mean, you guys are still staying afloat within the division, right where you need to be, at the top of it before we start to count you guys out. And even if you are in a situation where you do go into a rough run in the NL West up against some, I really want to say two teams that you really have to worry about out there, being San Francisco and the LA Dodgers. Other than that, they're, really have to make consistent play within that division. So I still feel like you guys still can make a difference out there, and they have to respect what you guys bring to the game, not what they're doing in their respected ballpark. So, like I said, this is a tough series with you guys going up against the Cubs being the best team in baseball right now. I mean, record-wise, it's the truth. You guys are at the top of the division. You guys have a 5-game lead on New York. And not to say you want to, but you guys have room to spare. As of now, I'm not even saying that, like, yeah, you know what, lose a couple games. Like, nobody should lose games on purpose. You know what I'm saying? But this is a tough team you're going up against, and Chicago just took one on the chin recently. So I think they were more revitalized than ever to try and get.
Yeah, but we've had to cut. So this will be the seventh game we've played them. We let them off the hook at least 4 games. And this umpire in this game is ridiculous.
Yeah, everybody's talking about his strike zone.
You don't know what a strike is, and you don't know what a ball is.
Everybody's been saying the same thing.
Huh?
No, everybody's been saying the same thing about his strike zone. Everybody I see from that area that I've been following, they're talking about this umpire cannot call a consistent strike. So
He just called Rendon. Our third baseman just got ejected because the bat before, he turned around and called a ball that was a foot off the plate, a strike. Come on, Dusty. Get in his ass. So this is horrible, Ty. You know what? That was a strike. The one that he just called was a strike. It was low on the corner. But, I mean, there's stuff that he's calling that you never know what he's calling. And it's both sides. It just isn't the Nationals. It's Chicago, too.
Well, we'll see at this bottom half of the inning. You guys have 3 fresh outs to get this done. So hopefully you guys can get some guys on the pad. Okay. My update is a little bit slower than yours, so forgive me. Forgive me. I try. Plus, I'm trying to.
I wish
keep my
had 3.
I try to keep my nose in this notepad as much as possible too, with everything I got jotted down to try and feed us here at the buffet. Okay. I know there were several different ways of dynamics of the show that you wanted to go and discuss, and I also have a couple of things written down too that I have for the buffet, but I'll let you start off first. Have at it here at the buffet.
Okay, do you want to get into this Suzuki and Pete Rose thing, or do you want to save that to the end?
I mean, we can go there while it is historic. The situation is historic, so we can't look past it, so we might as well get right to it. I did have it saved from the midway point of the show, but if you want, we can go right after it and start discussing this situation, because this is an interesting discussion, no less.
All right. We all know Pete Rose is probably the best hitter of all time, if not the second. It depends on what era you grew in, because some will say Ted Williams was. Then if you look, some will say Pete Rose was. But then if you live out in the West Coast, some might say Tony Gwynn was. I mean, you really can't go wrong, because all 3 of them are right there. Suzuki, I believe he passed Pete Rose, correct, Ty?
Yes, he did.
The controversy is he got to carry over his hits from Japan. If you ask me, this is ridiculous. Because what's going to be next? So if you get a hitter, I'll say hitter since that's what we're talking about, that's got, I don't know, 500-some home runs over in Japan. Are those going to carry over here to pass Barry Bonds' all-time record, too? Even though, once again, that's an ask. That's got a question mark on it. I mean, personally, if you ask me, this is ludicrous. Because Pete Rose did it over here in the States. Pete Rose didn't go over in Japan and get hits. Pete Rose didn't go anywhere else. He did it here. This is ludicrous. This is horrible. This is a tragedy, and I feel like this is another way for Major League Baseball to stick it to Pete Rose. I mean, they're already keeping him out of the Hall of Fame, and I think that's a joke. He should be allowed back in the Hall of Fame. At least Fox has him working there, and you can see him do games on Fox, pregame, and here and there. He'll do a game here and there on Fox Sports 1. I'm sorry. It's just another thing for baseball to push Pete Rose back again. What do you think, Ty?
100% agree with you. And this is a very intense discussion because I don't want to take anything away from Ichiro. Ichiro has been phenomenal since he came to the States. I don't want to take anything away from him. But look at his hit total, right? His hit total right now, including both leagues, it stands over, 4,257 hits, right? So I can't really overlook that. In which 1,278 of the hits came in Japan from 1992 to 2000, all right? So you mean to tell me that Bobby Valentine, right? Let me just use Bobby Valentine because I'm from Stamford, Connecticut. He's from Stamford, Connecticut. So I got to use somebody that I know personally because I personally know Bobby V. You mean to tell me Bobby V went over there and became a star legend because he helped the team win a World Series? So do they consider that as him leading a team to winning a World Series? No, because it happened in a Japanese league. So with Ichiro, with all of the stats that he's amounted from 92 to 2000, I give him credit for him to do it in a professional league. I give him credit. But it didn't happen in the big leagues with big-time pitchers that he's going up against. In 1992, Ichiro was, 10 years old? So you could already look at that as being a minor league setting. To me, and here goes icing on the cake, right? I don't want to totally disrespect what Ichiro does, but I kind of have to say it like this. Ichiro is one of those slap hitters that's already dragging out of the batter's box, try to get contact, and just because he already has great speed. I'm not going to lie, he slowed down as the time went on. But he's already beating the ball down the line. He's already got a head start or a jump on the ball regardless of the situation. Pete Rose went up there and swung in an era where they weren't looking for somebody to already get the advantage to beat people down the line. And everybody knows it's Charlie Hustle. Diving face first into whatever base he needed to make things happen, man. Like, if this is what you consider somebody beating out Pete Rose for him being atop the league, so now, just like you said, Tommy, this is another way for them to stick it to Pete Rose, you know what I'm saying, to not have him be at the top of the MLB. So it's like, now he doesn't lead the league in hits. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He done it in a major league setting. It wasn't like he went overseas. Just picture in his heyday right there, what was that, the 70s, the early 70s up into the early, mid-80s. Picture him jumping off and going into Japan and hitting the ball. Not to say it's easy, but picture if he was over there too. And he, over 4,200 hits, you want to hold him out because he gambled. You want to hold him out of the Hall of Fame because he gambled, but yet you're making this a considerable situation for Ichiro to sit on top of the Major League Baseball and hit all time, and he really didn't even amass all of the hits here in the league. Didn't. I mean, he spanned from three different teams at that, Seattle, New York, and Miami as well. I don't know. I feel a certain way about it. I don't want to totally disrespect Ichiro and say that it shouldn't count, but I don't think so. I don't think so. I definitely think they need to consider the hit that he's gotten while he was in the MLB and keep it like that. You're already giving him the leg up over guys that already have 3,000-some-odd hits, things of that nature, like, you know, Derek Jeter or you know, just a couple of guys that have already been there. Like, so with his hit total from overseas, he's already eclipsed everybody. They were already waiting for this situation to happen. I'm not buying it. I'm not comfortable with it in one reason or the other. Ichiro, he's a great guy historically for baseball, and I guess he joins both countries together when we talk about the Japanese League and MLB. But, no, I'm not buying it one bit, not at all.
I mean, we're not – I don't want you all to think that – me and Ty are disrespecting leagues because we both know there are some good ball players in pitching over there. I mean, you cannot carry this over. There is no way you can carry it over.
I don't think that this was made
up. There's players that, I mean, look at Johnny Gomes. He played over here, and now this year, he's over in Japan. So you're telling me all the hits that he gathered up over here carries over there? Then say next year, Johnny Gomes signs a contract somewhere back over here in the States? Does all that carry back over?
No, it won't. It wouldn't. It wouldn't.
I mean,
and this is
what they're saying with Ichiro.
And the crazy part is this is a certain league. This is the Major League Baseball. You know what I'm saying? This isn't like, you know, whatever league I can use. I can use NBA and D League. Like, so if somebody scored, you know, 30,000 points in the D League and then scored another 10,000 in the NBA. So they eclipsed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's league leading 38,000+ points scored. Like, this is going to start happening to everybody in every venue. Like I said, I don't want to take away from what they've done in their career, but you got to be real. You got to be real. He's playing a total different league comparable to being in the major league. There's no way. I literally think that they made a big deal about this season, but they weren't looking at this last season while whatever hits he was putting together, like, oh, he's getting close to Pete Rose's record. Nobody talked about it like that. But now we're faced with this situation that he was getting closer and closer to combining his number of hits together to pass Pete Rose. I literally want to hear the perspective of players around the league and see who really considers him being the, you know, the all-time hits leader. I want to hear it. Like, I want to hear from, you know, studs in the league, you know, from like Barry Bonds or McGuire, things of that nature, to, you know, pitchers or things of that nature. I want to hear everybody's discussion on it. If they clearly give him the leg up, I'm still fighting to give it. I really don't give Ichiro the leg up over Pete Rose. His major league hit total is 2,977. That, I mean, that's not Pete Rose's fault that, you know, I guess it took him a long time to, you know, get people to catch, you know, for him to catch people's eye over here to bring him to Seattle at that given time to be a notable household name at the end of the day. But like I said, this is professional baseball compared to a pro league in Japan. And they're two different venues. To me, they're two different venues. Okay. Anything else before we get away from this topic?
No, and the Nats tied it up at 4.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
Thank you.
See,
but our bullpen still has to go back out there and pitch.
It doesn't matter because I was being optimistic for you while you over here screaming like a demon for you guys to get it done. Look at you. Look at you. You're welcome. Okay.
I just said we can end it in the bottom of this inning.
And then I bet you start screaming then. Look at him, Sports City. This is what I have to deal with. Look at him. Look at him. And they got a man on first, too. So they tied it up. They got a man on the
with bases. Speed.
So, one out. I'll keep my eye close to this. I'll keep my eye close. Okay. Where would you like to go? Either Chris Bryant and his thoughts on the Derby or Jose Reyes, or I could start talking about the division races somewhat across the league. At least three of them have caught my attention.
We can do the Jose Reyes.
Okay. Jose Reyes is returning to New York up against the Mets, and the Mets organization, they're not really happy on his return. There's a lot of people coming out and speaking on him coming back to Queens, a.k.a. Flushing, being around the home crowd and his former team as well. I'm not going to lie. All while Jose Reyes was there in New York, one of the favorites, speed like crazy, triples, you know. The one thing about him was he remained injured. It was just something about him. He continued to be injured, you know, season after season. Your thoughts on Reyes getting back out there in the New York area and how New York, how this crowd is more or less, I don't really want to compare them to Philly. I don't. But they can care less about him coming back and knowing how the Mets have been playing as of late, but not as good as they should be. Your thoughts on Jose Reyes coming back to New York?
I don't blame him not being unhappy. I mean, that's pretty much saying your guy that you got at shortstop now isn't doing a job, and he's not done bad, actually. I mean, why would you want him for? I mean, Jose Reyes is, I mean, obviously he had problems, I mean, in the off season, was arrested, served a suspension for the player, for being arrested. I mean, we all knew he was gone out of Colorado with the whole story. When the story came, Trevor Story started doing what he was doing. I mean, I don't understand why the Mets did what they did. Unless they're panicking because they're five games out right now. And they're panicking because they see what the Nationals can be. And they're panicking.
David Wright is injured and facing surgery as well, too. So that's another thing, too, that the Mets need to be concerned about.
I mean, Wright's been hurt. I mean, that was like 3 weeks ago. I think he came out that it was something with his back. He's got something wrong with the back and everything. That I can understand. I'll tell you now, Wright does not look the same at all. I mean,
He has a herniated disc. So this is huge.
And the Nationals just walked off the Cubs. Thank you, Jason Worth.
Oh, so that's all that gets the credit, right? Jason Worth. Okay, good job, Jason Worth.
Jason Worth just got the ball and hit it off the wall. He's earning his money. And I'm telling you, New York, if Jason Worth is heating up, watch out. If we could just get Harper to warm back up.
Okay, that's not where I was going to. The fact of the matter is I told you that you guys had the bottom half of this inning, and you were over here talking about your pissed off.
The bullpen's horrible. Our bullpen, bottom of the bullpen, is horrible. How many games against this team?
Okay. The fact of the matter is
you
guys are done.
For having faith in my team, maybe you should take some of that faith up north.
We're not going that way, okay? Just leave it alone, okay? Leave it alone. Okay, so the Nationals come back and get this game from the Cubs late in the 12th, too, going into extras to get this one done. Strasburg with a no decision. This is huge,
it's
especially for you want to finish it? I mean, if you don't have it all out of you, I'll let you. You're starting to do to me what Pat does. You want to finish? In which, when I look at this, this could potentially be the NLCS. This could be the NLCS at the end of the day if both of these teams stay hot throughout the portion of the summer as everybody makes their late run into the month of September. Which the way that the Cubs have been playing and responding to Joe Maddon, I agree, and the way the Nationals have been getting it done, they're getting it done without their guy and Bryce Harper. Bryce Harper, just like Tommy said, they're waiting for him to get back into that swagger, you know, where you couldn't leave nothing over the plate for him, or he'll end up putting one over the fence. So good job to the Nationals, and they hang on to potentially clear-cut edge over the Cubs right now. And this is something that Tommy talked about, the rotation for the Cubs as well. Like, they're not going to be facing Arrieta, so that's another good key situation for the Nationals also. But, you know, just like I was saying in reference to the Mets before, you know, the Washington Nationals took care of business, Wright being out, this is another thing with Wright, looking at the same thing with Reyes. Both of these guys have injury-plagued careers being with the Mets. So, I'm wondering, what this is going to look like if they get Reyes back there and he can stay healthy. If not, this is clearly a eyebrow-raising situation, especially for the money that he's taking to get back there also. But it hasn't fully materialized yet. That from what I'm reading right now, there is still time due on this situation to go down, or if it is to go down.
I mean, whole Wright thing was he's never really been healthy all year long. He's been fighting that disc, and there's something else, something that's wrong, and the Mets organization didn't know how to manage it because there'd be games to where they wouldn't know until right off the game, almost game time, if he was going to play. I mean, they were like, he play a game here, so do you give him the next 2 days off? Or can we play him 2 games in a row?
Okay, we'll see how this goes down. But like I said, the New York people and society, if you will, are not big on this situation. But we'll see. Like I said, it has to grow legs. It has to grow more legs from what we've actually seen or read about up until this point. Now, I think this has been drawing the biggest attention up until this point. And, I think it's because we're all – well, at least me, I'm not going to lie. I'm a fan of the long ball as well. But this home run derby situation is actually drawing more legs than ever, especially with pitchers. First, we had Bumgarner and the batting practice situation that he was going through, and everybody from his pitching coach to the guy that actually throws him pitches, so his hitting coach as well, actually thinking that he could go in there and do some damage. Then you have Arrieta coming out saying, you know what, I think I could do some damage in the home run derby. Now it's starting to turn into a, really, you guys can barely hit when you're at the plate. Some of you guys can. But others, we look to them grounding out or flying out or striking out. They're not consistent hitters. In which you have another person that's come out speaking in reference to the home run derby, but there's also another big name in the sport right now that will not contend in the derby. Chris Bryant, the big slugger, if you will, for the Chicago Cubs, is not going to be involved in the home run derby. He's saying that the long, grueling situation can be exhausting, especially when that is a situation where they're looking forward to that as being a rest period or their mini vacation during the season. So I look at this as Chris Bryant actually taking some time off, enjoying the family, friends, or whatever they have at the venue and the little bit of time they have off before they make that final run into the month of July, heading into August and September. Your thoughts on Chris Bryant backing out of the Home Run Derby, and also another name that you threw at me, which I would like for you to discuss as well.
Chris Bryant stepping out, I do not blame him. This is the same, it's pretty much the same reason I said I hope Bryce Harper don't do it. What happens if one of them, I mean, they go, a lot of them go up and they swing and they wear themselves out, and it literally changes their batting swing from when they come back and play. I think it's the smart. I think they know. I really think it's come down about the organization. Probably sit down with the players and say, nobody's doing the Home Run Derby. We have a mission to break this curse. Everybody, if you play in the All-Star game, so be it. There will be no Home Run Derby. The other name that came out, now I don't know if he was trolling, if it was just a joke when he tweeted it out. It was on Sunday Night Baseball during the Dodgers and Giants when I was checking it out. They were talking about the whole bunch, up to two pitchers first that came out. Wainwright of the St. Louis Cardinals said, put out a tweet Sunday night. I would like to get in on this too then. Wait a minute. What? What are we going to have? A Home Run Derby of nothing but pitchers? Ty, what did I say on Tuesday night when this came up?
One of them could end up getting hurt in the long run.
Right. One's going to get hurt in the long run. I said, you let one guy in, they're all going in. And it's going to turn this into a mockery. It's headed there. This is headed there. Now, I did go through the Padres. I did say I would do some research in looking for the Padres hitter that could possibly represent them. The only one that I can see right now is Will Myers. He leads the team with 14. Will Myers will probably do it. Frazier for the White Sox will probably do it. Anybody else? I have no clue. Maybe Cespedes for the Mets. I don't know who else. Bryce don't do it. I really hope Bryce don't do it.
Do you know when Will Myers' birthday is? Do you know what day his birthday is at all?
Well, for you asking, I'm taking a wild guess and saying December 10th.
Exactly. That's why I've been following Will Myers. But his birthday is December 10th. So I respect Will Myers. We got the same birthday, but he's a young and he makes me feel old. But that would be great to see if Will could actually get out there and be the hometown leader because of all of the names that they do have on that roster that should be considerably doing work and being a part of this Home Run Derby are not playing up to their capability or what's expected of them. At the end of the day. So I think they might just enter Will just to get people in San Diego riled up to watch him be a part of the, All-Star Weekend extravaganza, especially if he could actually end up winning it. So that would be awesome as well if they could get him in there also. But like I said, with all of the pitchers coming out, especially it's basically all National League pitchers. It's all National League pitchers. And to be safer, I would rather be a Home Run Derby for pitchers. If you guys feel like you guys can go out there and hack, then have one for the pitchers and let, one of them feel happy knocking these guys out. Because then it'll be a situation you got a pitcher sitting up here waiting to hack with, the big names that are hitting big bombs at the end of the day, and then you got a pitcher swinging for the fence, and then then they have to look at the rest of the season and how they didn't preserve themselves. So that's why I think a lot of these guys are backing out. and trying to reserve themselves or preserve themselves as much as possible heading into the second half of the season as well. But like it was said, it's Arrieta right now, Bumgarner, they both are speaking out, and now you have Wainwright as well, who can hit. Don't get me wrong. Wainwright can hit to be a pitcher, but he's not a home run hitter. That's the one thing that I'm looking at. Like, he has to have some value at the plate to get it out the park. And from what we've seen from Bumgarner had the consistency to do it, not only in the game, but he did up against Kershaw, one of the biggest names in baseball right now, in which Kershaw just got his 10th win of the season as well, too. So, I mean, you got to give Bumgarner some credit up until that point. But, Arrieta, we haven't heard you knocking balls out of the park, especially on a big-name pitcher. And Wainwright, I mean, like I said, he can hit. I don't want to take anything away from Adam at the end of the day, but we're not seeing this guy go out there and do it consistently. So, like I said, I'd rather it be a situation where, whichever pitcher has a total accumulated home runs of like 15, they win a home run derby. Don't have these guys trying to get up there one inning and try to knock out 27 home runs. Like, you know, you got your pitcher at risk. And you know how much money you guys got invested in this guy. And especially a guy like Bumgarner, you guys just handed this guy a hefty amount of money as well, too. So, and there's no more lint to come behind him, none of them. But I will pick up right there with the NL West and the race that they have going on right now. It is clearly Giants-Dodgers, in which the Giants are separating from the pack. So with me saying that, you guys are in a comfortable – I can't really just say comfortable, but you guys are in a setting where you're actually taking care of business within the division, and you may end up putting your pitcher in harm's way, and if he doesn't get out of that situation alive, you guys will be like, well, what if we didn't put Madison in the home run derby? You know, things of that nature. So that's something that they need to watch closely. Tommy, your thoughts on the situation, especially out west in the NL, where it's a two-horse race between the Dodgers and the Giants, especially with the Giants doing their work, while their pitcher is already talking about a home run derby coming next month.
Yeah, but before I get to that, I just thought of another pitcher that could hit. Syndergaard for the Mets. Dude can rake. And he actually played shortstop in college and pitched. If he comes out, you heard it here first.
Right, he hasn't even spoke about being in the derby, though. That's the difference, though.
We give it time. Give it time.
If he does, he puts the Mets in a sour situation also, too, so I think he needs to think about that, too, especially his age, too. He's young, so he can preserve himself also. I mean, all of these guys are young except Wainwright. Wainwright is the elder statesman, if you will, if you're talking about these pitchers that are trying to give it a go for the home run derby.
And Wainwright came, didn't he have Tommy John surgery or something on his elbow a couple years ago?
Right.
I mean, come on. Now, get to the West. This is playing out exactly the way I thought it would. Exactly the way I thought it would. I look San Francisco to wrap this up early. I really do. Now, I did say the Dodgers would make the playoffs. I still kind of believe that because I know it's early to look at the wild card, but right now it's St. Louis and New York Mets with the Dodgers a game out behind. If everything stays the way it is, and it won't, we all know it won't, Sports City, the NL I hit right on the dot if it stays the way it is. This West is horrible. It's the worst division in baseball. I'm sorry. And everybody that talked about how good Arizona was going to be, and they made parks, and Arizona did this. Me and Todd tried to tell people that it wasn't going to happen. Not this year. San Diego, I have no clue what's wrong with them. They had Arizona, San Diego Padres has been a mockery since Tony Gwynn retired. And Apple, sorry for that man up in heaven. You got to sit up there and watch this up there. I mean, it's a mockery. Colorado started good. I mean, at least they've got Story to go out and support and watch. I mean,
they also have Arenado, too. You can't forget about Arenado. The guy's been playing good ball, too.
Yeah. This was, it's a mockery. It is a mockery. It's a joke. San Francisco wins this big. I don't think the Dodgers can, I mean, maybe the Dodgers can get back in it here and there, cut it back, but I don't think so.
It's something about the Dodgers that, you know, for some odd reason, they lose their luster somewhere within the season. I don't know where. I could, like, thumb this situation out. But it's been season after season, no matter who they have a part of their roster, it just doesn't materialize to be a team that you're worried about in the latter part of the season, in which you know, San Francisco has a 6-game lead on them. I feel like Los Angeles could get back into this because, you know, everybody knows about this rivalry that these guys have within the division. But San Francisco, to me, the Giants have that no-name team once again that'll end up getting it done this year without, you know, the Panda or you know, and they're finally healthy, having Pence and all of these guys back also. So, I don't know. I really feel like it's a two-headed race, but if the Giants continue to do work and they're able to win games on the road, I mean, they're actually great at Pac Bell, but it's a total different situation if they're picking up wins on the road. If they can get it done on the road, I feel like it's going to be an uphill battle, even with the Dodgers and the name that they have there to get it done. Okay, another division situation that I wanted to jump into, but it's more or less outside of the division or within the division, but one team that I put next to it, surprised, really? And that's how I have it written, with the Los Angeles Angels and the way that these guys have been playing. These guys are 9 games under .500 and have interesting names there where I thought that they would have a better run at this season going forward. This is another division that is struggling, to keep it real. Then Los Angeles and Oakland are all under .500. Seattle is in second place, finally making some noise within a season with the turnaround with guys like Robinson Cano and, you know, Big Cat Felix and those guys. And Texas is sitting atop the division, having a 5.5-game lead on Seattle. But other than Texas and Seattle, everybody is struggling to, you know, get afloat in the situation. But I really wanted to focus more on the Angels and, you know, guys like Trout, Pujols, and these guys are available playing with this team and not able to get it done or surface toward .500. I mean, they are 9 games under .500. This is a surprise to me. That's why I wrote surprise, really. Your thoughts on the Angels and how they've been able to play. And the crazy part is the Angels have a team that they're going up against tonight that I know so well.
They're going to blow this up next year. They will have a new manager. I don't see Pujols
there. Whoa. You think they get rid of Socia?
Yep. When's the last time this team was relevant in the play, making the playoffs lately? The last couple of years, they've lost and been under .500. Watch and see. We all know how the Los Angeles it is out there. I mean, if Donnie Baseball can get fired in the across town, making the playoffs, yeah, he was losing. So she'll get fired for being under .500 and losing, and not making playoffs, and at least making this division more competitive. I mean, Trout will be there. They're not getting rid of him. there's no way they get rid of Trout.
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, Pujols could be gone. I mean, he's not been the same. I mean, he signed that big major contract, and now it's like, wait a minute, what? I mean, they got rid of Josh Hamilton and traded, shipped his ass back to Texas, and he's not even playing now. Strained calf or something. So, I mean, I'm shocked. Maybe they turn it around when they get their starter back from a 60 DL, Wilson, but, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, there's only so much work CJ can do. But, Socia, if you're hearing me, if you're listening, you can go right to Minnesota, and you and Paulie Molitor can work this out. I would love to have Socia as a skipper, or at least somebody, you know, pulling that lineup together to get better hits. Well, I can't really say that because Molitor, you know, is a great hitter himself. So I know he's trying to get these guys to hit the ball as well, but I just don't like the start these guys got off to. I'm personally speaking, I'm pissed off. But other than that, if Socia went out of job, that'd be a whole nother discussion. But like I said, for these guys to be under 500 with the lineup that they do have, going out there today, they have Trout and Pujols right in the thick of things in the middle of the lineup and really have not been getting production from either of the guys how people have wanted them to pan out, including what I've been able to watch up until this point as well. But they're sitting at fourth. I don't know if they, you know, start to make a hunt at trying to get somewhere near the top of the division, but they have work to do, and their hands kind of full, if you will. They had a win last night. They ended up splitting the series thus far with the Twins winning 5-4 last night. The tiebreaker is tonight at 10:05. Your thoughts on the matchup up against the Twins tonight?
I mean, it's two of the worst teams in the league playing each other. I mean, and I'm shocked. I'm really shocked. I thought the Twins would be better than what they were. Thought they would at least be competing in the division. And I surely thought that the Angels would be complete. I mean, I'm just shocked that both these teams are where they're at this point.
The special situation for this game is for the Angels. The Twins have Duffy pitching this year. Duffy has been miserable pitching this year, 2-5, over 5 in his ERA. But the Angels have Santiago pitching. His ERA is over 5 as well also. But from what I've seen from Duffy, Duffy is like trying to catch a butterfly to get a win, and it's not been in his grasp by any means. So the Twins are in a crazy situation up against a struggling Angel team that would love to get a win and try and stay within reason around 500. I mean, the Twins, they got to do more than just win one game to get near 500. They put themselves behind the eight ball. The next division I want to get to is the AL East, in which the teams that I did want to discuss are playing each other, well, at least two of the three that I wanted to discuss are playing each other. Boston is creaming Baltimore right now, up 6-0 in Boston. The other team I wanted to talk about that's right in the hunt is Toronto. Again, quietly, the Blue Jays are right back in this thing, but it's a three-headed monster in the AL East. Now, to paint the picture, yeah, I know. I live right here, and, of course, I'm talking junk, but I feel like I'm going to wake them up. The Yankees? Huh? Like that's how I wrote it. HUH, the Yankees, huh? They are at the bottom of the barrel. The question that I do have for you is, do they remain at the bottom of the barrel all season long? Do the Rays stay above them? Do the Blue Jays stay above them? Baltimore and Boston, do everybody stay above the Yankees for the first time, in which this could potentially be the last time we see A-Rod as well? Or do the Yankees start to get warm like they normally do around the month of June and July? It's hard to put together an interesting season.
I'm shocked about the whole Yankees thing. Completely shocked. I mean, they literally just lost to Colorado. I'm shocked. The Yankees in Tampa in this division are done. Toronto's the team to watch out for, I think. I mean, because right now, Baltimore's problem, they can slug. We got no problem with that. Baltimore can slug. What's hurting Baltimore is their starting pitching. They are not getting any starting pitching. They played, just got done before this series, they played Toronto up in Toronto, and it was like a slugfest. Baltimore may have to go out before the trade deadline and try to find some starting pitching because it's not working for them right now.
It's not easy to get a starter. They're like a guy that could come in there and do work, unless they could just get this guy to believe in himself and come in here and start mowing people down. But it's not easy to get somebody that sit atop a rotation and a guy get let go for some interesting pieces, especially from Baltimore as well. Like Baltimore's offense, they have to keep there to be successful. I wouldn't get rid of anybody, to be honest.
Right. I mean, I see what you're saying. Something's got to be done. Or they could fall down in this division quick. Because I think they're going to start turning it around. Boston's going to be right there, especially with Poppy retiring after this year. This team's not going to not make the playoffs. They're not going to send Poppy out like that. Not happening.
They are a game out. So they need this game tonight to tie things up, literally, in the division. That's why they're up 6-0, doing work to this Baltimore Orioles team, just to tie things up, making this series right here so pivotal on where things could actually stand as we approach the weekend here in the American League East. And like I said, Toronto's in their rear view. Three games out from what the Orioles have been able to do. And Tampa, hit or miss. They're under 500 right now. They're hovering near 500. They had a couple of interesting wins here or there, but their consistency is the question. Their consistency is the question. Teams are able to take series from them, and they can't continue to watch this happen, especially if they want to stay relevant in the discussion of, the top of the division. But the biggest question mark that I did have is watching the Yankees since everybody got old. I think Father Time is the big situation that beat up on the Yankees, and watching everybody either get old or retire, things of that nature. And I don't think the Yankees thought that this would ever happen to them. I think that they thought that their money could run forever. And, of course, their money goes forever, but they're not able to get the production that they wanted to out of the notable guys. They're moving Sabathia around and not get consistent play offensively from, people within this lineup, whether it's A-Rod or Ellsbury. These guys came here to do damage, and they're not getting it done. These guys are in last place in the AL East. I would never think of this situation happening to the New York Yankees, in which they are now focusing on Joe Girardi. How much of this is in front of Joe Girardi, or is it just the production of the players that needs to be questioned?
They do that, but look at their minor system. Are they putting in the work in the minors? Because if you look at teams that are good, their minor system is good. The Cubs, their minor system is really good. San Francisco, the Nationals. I mean, that's one thing I could say. Now, I don't follow New York that much. I'm happy they're losing. Congratulations. Yay, keep losing. But I wondered how much they focused on their minor system instead of bringing in all these big names and just plucking them in and think they can win that way.
I mean, that's been the makeup for years on the Yankees. It is, picking the apple at the ripest point and putting them right in the midst of a lineup and being able to do work, whether they had awesome pitching or awesome starters in their rotation, because I don't really want to give too much of their bullpen credit. If, you know, Mariano having to retire due to father time and, you know, things of that nature. But now it's all falling apart. Now it's all falling apart. So hopefully they get to buy another player or two or three to keep the Yankees status, if you will. Of course, they're known across the league, but, you know, in their winning ways, I think that was yesteryear, to say the least. Okay, well, we are at the tail end of the show. I need a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote as we shut it down here at the buffet.
Good show. Glad to be back on the baseball buffet. Hopefully we can get to it next week. Keep winning Nationals. Keep believing in us, Ty. Take some of that and send up northwest to your Minnesota team. I believe it was the last show we did. I said, watch this Chicago White Sox team start falling. Guess what? They're a game under 500, and they're falling. They're doing exactly what I thought they'd do. Welcome back, White Sox.
They are now winning 1-0 against Detroit, in which they need
to
win
this game. They are losing
2-1. Okay, so my update came slow. Okay, so Detroit got back into this thing. But they are in Chicago. They are in Chicago, so I think anything can happen. And they have to get to the bottom half of the inning so they could try and make this happen as well. Because I just made something happen in D.C. talking about the bottom half of the inning. So this could happen again. So I don't know if I should be talking jungle about Detroit. I'm leaving my division alone. I'm shutting up. I'm leaving the Central alone. Everybody do your thing. Everybody do your thing. I'm chilling. I'm good. Karma, I ain't starting no trouble. Tom, anything that you'd like to promote or close out with before we shut it down here at the buffet?
No, that's about it.
TittyChef.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here tomorrow at the Crossover Cafe. It might take place early. We might have a 7 p.m. start due to the fact Game 6 is taking flight. I got to check with the chefs and see what we can do about that. If not, then we're going to have to try and cram pack Friday night with the round table because I just don't feel it's right. We're doing a basketball show at the same time as the NBA Finals, which could potentially be the last game of the season. So I want everybody to be in tune with the game, but also come here to get their dish here in the kitchen. We're back at it, Sports City. Got the buffet flying around, too. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
We did it like that, and now we do it like this. We did it like that, and now we do it like this.
Yeah. Now block, kids, who got the cocaine? Don't tell me it's the little kids on boat train. The metaphor sent from my brain to my jaw. It comes from other places, not the tinted faces. Journalistic values are yellow and then of course falters. You watch Channel Zero with that bitch Mama Lawton. She have you believe black invented crack. When President Lyndon had the formula way back in 63 with Kennedy. Yes, the double cross, remember that's when they blow his fucking head off. Vietnam vets come back looking like one arm pets. And bounce, pure text. No picket fence, no job, no angel in the car. Blue collar turns to bourgeois. Depressed in your chest. Demerol for cess, low dough, crack and veils much less. White, he can sell on the corners of Bushwick. White, he can sell on the corners of Flatbush. White, he can sell on the corners of Bed-Stuy. Pass the torch to that nigga guy. So just die, nigga, die, nigga. You're too black, you can't handle, you're too strong, get high. Clock next boost your steel. In 95 we take back atmosphere.